Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. You're about to hear an episode of Serving Today, which is a program for pastors and church leaders. It will also be of interest if you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group. Serving Today will be a helpful resource for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for pastors and church leaders. This is Andrew Cook. I'm pleased that we can be together once more. From Slavery to Service, more in the series from Doug Johnson. Here on Serving Today, we continue to look at the book of Exodus in our series From Slavery to Service. We're delighted to have Doug Johnson with us again. The title for the talk Doug is going to outline for us is God Calls His People to Live for Him. And the passage is Exodus chapter 19, verses 3 to 6, which we'll read now. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." Doug Johnson is now going to give us some of the background to the passage that we've just read.
This is where we come to the climax of the story of the salvation part of Exodus. God having rescued his people, it's before he gives them the law. So they are saved first, they are rescued from slavery, before they're given the law and told how they should serve God. And I think that's a very important element of the book and an important element of the way we understand the book and especially the law of God.
And what would you say is the main point of this sermon?
That God's people must not forget his mercies in the past and must live for him in the light of those mercies.
Yes, as you say, it's an extremely important point, and it really is an important principle to hold throughout as we approach the whole of the Bible, really. How would you introduce this particular talk, God Calls His People to Live for Him?
Well, I think with the question, why do we do the things that we do? Sometimes we do them to persuade someone else to do something for us. Sometimes we act, we do things to please someone. Sometimes we do things to get something we want. And sometimes we simply don't know why we do what we do. Now, in the world of ancient Israel, the religions of the surrounding nations were designed to persuade the so-called gods of those nations to do things for them. They might want to win a military victory. They might want their harvest blessed. They might want a business to be successful. In those religions, they all sought things and they all wanted things done by the gods. So they did things to persuade the gods to be on their side. Now, when we come to the laws in the book of Exodus, we often think that that's what they are doing. That's what those rules are there for. Their rules to be obeyed, to get the God of the nation to do things for them, to get the God of Israel on their side. But nothing is further from the truth. We sometimes teach that the Lord gave Israel the Ten Commandments so they might become his people. But that is entirely the wrong way round. They certainly don't need to keep God's law to be saved. As we read the story, we see that they are already saved. God has come down and led them out of Egypt. He's saved them from their slavery. That is the way the story goes. It moves from God's promises in chapter 3 about their salvation, about their redemption, to it actually happening in chapter 12. And when they are saved from the judgment passing through the land by the blood of the Lamb, God then brings them out of Egypt. They're saved from the Egyptian army, as we saw in chapter 14. And it's done by God's personal action alone. Then the Lord brings them through the wilderness, providing food and water for them. They are a saved people. And now, before giving them the law to show them how to live as God's saved people, they're told to remember all that has happened and what God has said.
So, Doug, what's the first heading going to be?
The first heading is remember what God has done. And we're looking particularly at verses 3 and 4. The people have reached Mount Sinai, just as God promised. He actually said back in chapter 3, verse 12, that the sign that they'll be brought out will be that they'd worship him on this mountain. This is the great sign. The rescue has been completely accomplished. But before Moses goes up the mountain to be given the law for this people, there are certain things that need to be remembered. They need to remember that it is God who has done this. He has, as the text says, carried them on eagle's wings. The idea of the eagle's wings is a picture of both God's strength and his care in Scripture. It speaks in Deuteronomy of the eagle watching over its young. It was God, secondly, that defeated Egypt, not Israel. It's God who showed his power for their salvation. And then God has brought them to himself. They are now in a special relationship with him. If you look at verses 3 and 4, it's really clear there, isn't it? This is what you're to say to the house of Jacob, to the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I, that is God, did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And the pattern that is here of salvation, of grace coming before the law, is in fact one that's continued through the whole of Scripture. Just as one example, at the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua 24, when Joshua renews the covenant with the people, he first reminds them of all that God has done before he makes demands of the people. And the same pattern is found in the New Testament. In the letter to the Ephesians, for example, the first half explains what God has done for us in Christ before it shows from chapter 4 to chapter 5 how we should live. So this passage calls us to remember that our salvation depends on what God has done for us in Christ, not on what we can do for him. And we need to help others to see that as well.
So how do we summarise this as a challenge?
That simply, I think, we must never fall into the trap of thinking it depends on us, that we always look to God and what he has done. We look back and remember the death of Christ for us.
Okay, thank you. So that was the first heading, remember what God has done. What's the next one?
Remember what God commands. This is verse 5 of the passage. So it is only after they've heard what God has done that they are told what they must do. As we've said, it's very tempting to put these the other way round. But as we've seen, this is not the biblical order. Even before God gives them the Ten Commandments in the next chapter, they are again reminded that the God who commands is the God who has already saved. In the next chapter, it says first that God is the one who brought them out of Egypt, before God begins to spell out to them the commandments. You see, the response that God requires is that his people live in thankful obedience to him. They show whose people they are by the way that they now live their lives. In many ways, the commands that are about to be given reflect the nature and the character of God. They show what kind of God he is, that he's a loving God, that he's a God that loves truth and faithfulness, a God who loves order, and seeks his people to care for others. As his people Israel are called to reflect these qualities, to show them to the rest of the world, they are going to be a light to the world. Living as the people of God in this way, they will continue to be his treasured possession, and that's a term that's used of them in verse 5. Rescued by God, they belong to him and show that they are his people by the way that they now will live. In the same way, we as the Church of Christ should together show our salvation to the world around us by the way that we live. This is what Jesus expects of his disciples. And he actually taught this way of discipleship to them in the Sermon on the Mount, for example, to show their salvation by their new life in the world. And the principles that Israel were taught, those based on the character of God, should mark out the church today. Truth, faithfulness, order, care for others. They're very important things because they reflect who God is.
Okay, thank you very much. And what's the final heading going to be here?
Remember what God promises. And this is verse 6. Once more, the stress is not just on what salvation means for individuals or the church. God makes it clear that his interests, that his purposes, are for the whole world. For every nation, not just one. Look for a moment at verse 6. Well, beginning at the end of verse 5. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. As God's people, Israel are to be different, and they are to have a ministry to the whole world. Moses and the people do not have to make up a message about God. They are given a message by God and are called to make it known in the whole world. This is what it means when they are called a nation of priests. They have the job of sharing the message of God with everyone else. All the world is the Lord's, and they are his priests, they are his ministers in it. As a holy nation, they are called to be set apart for God. It will not mean that they are sinless, but they give themselves to serve God alone. This is not simply for their benefit, but so that blessing might come to the whole world. They are part of God's great plan to bless the world, a plan, a promise originally given to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3. They must remember what God has done, what he has said, what he promises, and they must pass it on.
And how would you bring this particular talk or sermon to a close?
Well, I think we need to look afresh at how we, as God's people, now do this. In our evangelism, in our care for others, do we really fulfill our roles as ministers for God? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 picks up the idea of a holy nation and a royal priesthood and says that we are these things that we might declare the praise of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. Here is a great standard to measure our life together as the Lord's people by. Do we show this distinctiveness that wins others for the gospel and for the praise of God?
Thanks to Doug Johnson for that talk outline, and that brings this edition of Serving Today to a close. So this is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May the God of all grace be with us as we serve Jesus Christ. We hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission Radio team. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us. The address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. That's servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. You can also follow us on Twitter. The address there is @servingtodaygbm, @servingtodaygbm. Thanks for listening and goodbye.